we could say shocking words contained in part of that hymn. Horrors past imagination will surprise your trembling heart when you hear your condemnation. Hence, accursed wretch, depart. I pray that it will not be the case on the judgment day that any in this building, after this gospel service, will be found in such a state, even on the day of God's wrath. But we'll turn in our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 20. It is in some ways a futuristic. There are futuristic sermons today, I suppose. We've already considered the last two chapters, and especially that last, or one of the last, pleas and cries of John, and even so, come Lord Jesus. But we're going to consider Revelation 20 and the verses 11 to 15. And here we have the last judgment, the final judgment. And it says there, Revelation 20 and the verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let's just pray once more to God. I hope that you can feel the seriousness of this passage and how that those who are outside of Christ face this down the road when that day comes, that last judgment. This is what they'll face. And oh, that we might pray earnestly for them. Oh, that we, the believers, might have our heads bowed now, and with our whole heart, that we would charge the throne of grace, and that we would plead for their souls. Let's just pray once more. Oh, our God and Father, Lord, we come with this passage before us. And Lord, surely I even know as the preacher, I come with fear and trembling as I would take up thy word even from this portion of scripture. O Lord, that we tonight might be brought into the knowledge of what this passage is telling us. That Lord, our attention would not waver, that our mind would not be set on other lesser worthless things, but oh, that our minds might be brought into an understanding of the last judgment. And especially, Lord, we bring the sinners before thee, those, even the unbelievers, those who are darkened, those who are yet in rebellion against thee. O Lord, we know that thou hast a just cause to cast them immediately into hell, that thou hast a just cause to pour out thy wrath upon them. O Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Look to the cross, we pray, and may the wrath that is due to us all, may it be abated, even by the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we all be brought tonight in a sense of seriousness. Lord, may we not be found, Lord, with our minds in another place. But Lord, we pray that deep and serious conviction would fall upon each one. Lord, let us not be finished this service tonight. Let us not have looked at thy word and have gone out the doors just the same way we come in. Lord, let it not be. Lord, we plead for the sinners. May they have come in tonight under the great cloud of sin, and therefore the great wrath of God waiting to fall upon them, but may they go out tonight. May they go out with a heart of rejoicing that Jesus has saved from sin once again. Be with us. Continue with us, we ask and pray, in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. I really want to take this whole passage that we have read from verse 11 to 15 as we consider the word of God tonight. I'd like to give it the title of The Sinner's Last Stand. The Bible is very clear that there will be a final judgment, a day in the future when all man's sin and all wrongs will be accounted for, a day of God's judgment upon the sinner's sin. And the Bible is very clear in that it mentions it on various occasions. In Matthew 25, we read there, even from the verses 31 to 46, an account of the last judgment. We read there in verses 31 to 32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And again, verse 41 of Matthew 25, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. We find here again another account of the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Another passage, 2 Peter 3 verses 10 to 14, we read here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 13. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the fact given to us here by this passage in Revelation, by the passages in Matthew 25, 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter, and many more, that there is coming a final judgment, that there is coming a day and an hour when your sin will be judged by God. I want you to know it in Revelation 20. And the verse 12 that John says something striking. He says this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. John saw the dead stand before God. You know, today, in our present period of time, there is time and there is opportunity to sin. We live in a time of wickedness wherein is abundant opportunity for any young man or young woman or adult or older person to sin against God to their pleasure. It's a day of atheism, isn't it? Primarily, we could say it's a day of atheism. men like Richard Dawkins seeks to stand tall straw men to prove that there is no God. It's a day of drunkenness where alcohol pervades our society. It pervades many of our homes, and there's destruction by drunkenness, we know. It's a day of drug abuse. A day when those who are at the lowest ebb in our society turn to such things as drugs to get them away. It's a day of sodomy, where sodomy is flaunted, where sodomy is in a strange way respected as a way of life. But it's a day of complete rejection of God and Jesus Christ. It's a day when God is set to the side. It's a day when Jesus Christ is just not considered. And thank God we're running a campaign as a denomination at this time, Consider Christ, because no one has any notion to consider Christ. And so man glories in his sin today. And maybe you're here tonight and you glory in your sin. You think nothing of the day of judgment, but your sin to you is fun. It's some time of pleasure to get you through this life. No thought of God, no thought of Christ. I was told of a man who would stand in the street and he would call on God to strike him down. And by that he would seemingly prove that there's no God. Well, if God is real, he would strike me down. But let me say that there's a day of judgment coming. There's a day when all of our sin will be presented to us by the books according to works. And that man's sin will be there. And that man will be called to account, just like all other men will be called to account of their sin. There is coming, therefore, the sinner's last stand. Sinners will all stand before God. They will all stand in their sin before the holy judge. The rebels, the God-haters and God-deniers, Christian persecutors from all time right up to this present date, those who manufactured in their wickedness the Holocaust, those tyrants from the past days and generations, the most wicked oppressors of time, let me say that every sinner will stand before God as they are in their sin. But it's not just the worst sinners. It's not just those people who you have in your mind and you say, well, they deserve a judgment. Those pedophiles. What about Hitler? What about those terrible, wretched people? They'll be before the judgment, won't they? But as we considered this morning, look at Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, all sinners will stand before God. There won't be a little section for the certain type of sinners. There won't be a clean section. We'll all stand before God and give a personal account of our wretchedness and sin. And so tonight, I want us to realize by the end of this message that it's a striking and sobering thought that we'll all stand before God in our sin. Three questions could be asked and answered as we consider this passage, as we seek to enlighten ourselves concerning the last and the final judgment. And the first one I put to you is this: who will be there? Who will be at the last judgment? Well, firstly, the righteous judge will be there. Look at verse 11. What does it say? What did John see? And I saw a great white throne. That's one great white throne. Singular. It is great in its magnitude, in the most serious sense, that it is a transcendent, holy throne. It's white in that it's pure, in that it will administer right justice. It's a throne in that it will be all about justice. Therefore, there is one righteous judge who is completely authoritative. One judge. He's the king. He's obviously here, the ruler. There's one who is going to administer justice, and it's going to be pure justice. It's going to be right justice. There's no people who are going to buy this judge off. There's no people who are going to present anything of worth to try to plead their cause. This is going to be a pure and right sentence. This is going to be a pure and right judge. And note, therefore, that there's going to be no erroneous judgments. God's not going to send anyone to hell who does not deserve to be sent to hell. He's not going to point out a sin and lay it to your charge that's not yours. But God is going to judge us all righteously. There'll be no arguments. There'll be nobody pointing the finger at God and say, "Well, I didn't commit that sin. That wasn't me." There'll be no finger pointing it at this righteous judge saying that, "Well, no one saw me do that. No one saw me think that. No one knew that I felt that feeling." There'll be no arguments. There is here a great white throne, and we read, "And him that sat on it." It is God who sits on the throne, and it's Christ who takes to administer the justice. So God, we could say, God brings awfulness to this judgment. He brings awfulness to the sentence, but Christ brings terror to the judgment. It's a day when many reject God. We could say that most reject that God even exists. And it's a day when Christ is cast aside as just a plain old historical figure with no real power to save. God will bring the awfulness, we could say. And how terrible will it be? How will the terror of the heart be of the sinner, especially the one who has heard of Christ, has heard of his suffering, has heard of his death on the cross, has heard of his free grace, and yet has shunned him to the side. Oh, what a terror. What a terror it will be to you if you go out of this meeting tonight unsaved. But at the same time, isn't this right, believers? At the same time, whilst Christ brings terror to the unbelievers, doesn't he bring comfort to us? As all our sin is laid open, whilst Christ brings terror to the unbeliever, when we see him, how our hearts will be melted with comfort and joy that he is our advocate. The judge is the one who is on our side. And we notice here also, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You see, earth as we know it, as we understand it, is gone. Man then stands alone before God. Man has nowhere to run. Man has nowhere to hide. He can't run to his family. He can't run into his house. And listen, young people who are here tonight, you can't run home to your parents. You can't try to shelter yourself under the shadow of their testimony, under the shadow of their profession of faith. Listen, we'll all stand before God, because the heaven and the earth will flee away from his face. We read in 2 Peter again, very important passage in relation to this. 2 Peter, about this heaven and earth and how that it flees away. In 2 Peter and the verses, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3 and the verse 7. And we read there, "But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Then in verses 10 to 12, as we've already read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God," wherein, again it's emphasized, "wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." And we have here the picture that when God judges, when the righteous judge is sitting on his throne, judging, that the very heaven and earth will pass away before his face. And we alone are left. We alone are left. Revelation chapter 6 and the verses 12 to 17. What words these are. "As the sixth seal is opened and I beheld," Revelation 6:12, "when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men," you think of all the men, you think of the punt of the Pope, you think of all the world leaders, you think of Barack Obama, you think of Kim Jong in North Korea, and whoever else you want to, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne," and listen, "and from the wrath of the Lamb, the terror that Christ brought, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Yes, there'll be a time for running and hiding. There'll be a time crying for the rocks to fall upon them, because they can't stand the face of God, but we'll all stand before him. It's as sure as God is God, that we as sinners transgressing and breaking his law will stand before him. And so God will be there, the righteous judge. And let me say also that all men will be there. Out of every nation, every skin color, every language that's spoken, every religion, whether it's Buddhism or whether it's a warped form of Christianity, the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons or whatever, we read here in Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 12, "And I saw the dead." John saw the dead. And so no matter when you die, you'll stand before God. Death is no barrier to the judgment. We read also in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." And so no matter how you die, the bodies will be resurrected to the judgment and will stand before God in our flesh. And the question might be here then, well, where do we go immediately after death? If we're not saved, where do they go? Well, what do we read here in verse 13? "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according
every man according to their works. And so all those who have gone before, if they're not saved, they go immediately into the pit, into this place called hell.
But oh, they'll all be raised up again. They'll all be raised up to stand before God for the final judgment, for the final just sentence of God. But you see, no matter when we die, if we're unsaved, the final judgment is yet to come. What does Hebrews 9 verse 27 say? But after this, the judgment, for as it is appointed unto men once to die, yes, you'll all die, but after this, the judgment, and it's an event that is coming to us all, when God will judge us. And we read here also, and I saw, as it says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. And listen, no matter who you are, maybe you think you're someone that tonight before God, you have some kind of position that makes you exempt. Listen, the small and great, no matter who you are, you'll stand before God as a sinner. Why? As Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned. And that is counting everyone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in that sense, listen, saint and sinner will stand before God. We'll all stand before Him. And I'm not dividing it, especially in this part of my message, the saints and the sinners. Listen, we'll all stand before God. We'll all have the books opened and the record of our sin brought to us. And we see here who will be there, but also what will happen. What will happen? Well, we have presented to us in this passage two different types of books, don't we? We have, firstly, the book according to works, or the books according to works. And we have also here the book of life. Now, firstly, let's look at the books according to works. And let me say that there's not two columns here. Let me say that it's not a scale, and your good will be placed on this side of the scale, and your sin and your bad will be placed on that side of the scale, and God will weigh it up, and He'll see how you've got on in your life. Listen, if you think that's what the last judgment is about, you may wipe it straight away from your memory, because that'll damn you. If you think that your good works will merit you heaven, will merit you escape from everlasting fire, then you better be quick to snap out of it. For we read here that the books were opened. And these books according to works, we must read it in light of other scripture. And Romans 3 verse 12 says that none doeth good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. We've all transgressed. We've all gone down the path of sin. And straight down the path of sin. Without any thought for light, without any thought for God, but by nature, children of destruction, headed for hell. Listen, there is none in this building tonight that has done any good for God. None who has done anything of purest worth, that it might be set before God as something good, but it's all filthy rags. And these books of works are opened unto us, these books, as it is said in the plural. What does that speak of? Well, it speaks of the multiplicity of our sins. Many books contain the record of our sin. You know, God sees not only the act and the deed, He sees the thought. He knows the thought. He hears the word. He knows all our sin. And on that day, we will really see, I'm sure. Listen, you only think you're a sinner until you've stood before God and He opens the books and accounts your sin and shows us, as it says here, the books were opened, the manifestation of our sins, that they're put to light
for the first time those sins that you have committed in the darkness of your home, in the farthest corner of this earth, in the deepest part of your mind and your heart. All your sin will be manifested in that day when the books are opened. And how it is pressed upon us in Romans chapter 2 and the verse 16. Do you know what it says there? In the day when God shall judge, listen, the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. The secrets, the most secret sins that we have, that maybe your wife doesn't know, that maybe your mom and dad doesn't know, that maybe your children doesn't know, and no one knows, but you know. And God knows, and God has recorded it in His book. And all our sins are therefore in these books recorded for us on that day to be opened and made manifest. Every sin that we have committed. And listen, don't worry about me hearing your sin. I'll not be worried about you hearing my sin. It's all about God the judge. That's where the shame is. That's where the embarrassment is, and not embarrassment in the sense of blushing cheeks as a child who was picked on in the plumb. I'm talking about true shame for our sin, true disappointment in our heart that we are sinners of the most terrible degree. And what do we read here then again? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And listen, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Upon the basis of sin will we be judged. And let me say also, the greater the sinner, the greater the judgment. The greater the light one has, as Christ told those, even I think it's in Matthew 10 or 11, as you're lifted up into heaven, and as tonight you're lifted up in the gospel, and you hear the word of God, you see Jesus Christ calling you to come, and as you're lifted up to the light, so you will be brought down to the darkest pit of eternal destruction. And oh, what sad words we end up with here in verse 14 and 15. I want you to really feel the force of this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How awful and how terrifying a fact, a future fact that is. That God will pick you up in that day of judgment after He has looked at all your sins and judged you righteously, accordingly, and He'll pick you up. Listen, I'm not going to make any differentiation here. I'm not going to play it down, because it's serious. He'll pick you up and He will cast you into the lake of fire. That's what the Word of God says. These aren't my words. The book says twice in two verses that the sinner will be cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the burning lake of fire forever. And this is the sinner's last stand, and it's over at this point. Death and hell, listen, you tonight are instead of Christ. You'll be picked up and you'll be cast into the lake of fire. And oh, I beseech you and I plead with you. And sometimes it's a light phrase. It can be a worn phrase, but turn or burn. And that's the reality of this message tonight. That you must turn and turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Or let me promise you this on the ground of God's word, that you'll burn forever. You'll burn forever in the lake of fire. There is here then not only the books according to works, but there's the book of life. And thank God then, in light of these horrible and terrifying thoughts, that there is a book of life. We read in verse 15 that there are ones written in the book of life. And the point is this, that we all will come short. And all will deserve to be cast into the lake of fire. And yes, you mature Christian, the one who has been saved for years, maybe you're the most sanctified person in this house. Listen, you deserve and will deserve to be cast with the rest into the lake of fire. But what a wonder it is, what a joy it is that there is this book of life for us. And it's called the Lamb's book, isn't it? In Revelation 21 verse 27, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, it's not, let me say then, I hope you get my meaning, it's not a book of faith. It's not a book of repentance, but it's a book of sacrificial free pardon. It's a book of sacrificial free pardon, wherein those names that are written in it, if you could give me the liberty, are written in Christ's blood. Listen, it's a book of free pardon. Those who are written in it do not deserve to be taken into chapter 21 and 22, into the saints' everlasting rest. But let me say that only those written in the book of life will be spared the lake of fire. And let me say also then, to be in Christ is to be in the book. To be in Christ is to be in the book. And so lastly, I want you to ask yourself this question now. In all seriousness, as this meeting would come to an end, and as we would stop considering these things, ask this question to yourself, young people, older people, where will I be? Where will I be? The solemn and striking question we must ask ourselves is, where will I be? Do you know that your name will be called when the roll is called up yonder? And God is casting the sinners into utter darkness with, listen, no remorse. He's just in doing it. And he casts them into the lake of fire. Will your name be called? Do you await your name to be called? All of us must stand before God, and that's sure. The works and sins that we have done have caused God to record them. They have come up before his face in heaven as a stink to his nostrils. All our sin and all our wickedness, and it has caused him to record them. All will have their sins recorded. All will be ashamed of their shortcomings. Listen, I'll be ashamed in that day when my works and my sins are presented to me. All will have our sins brought to remembrance. All of us must stand before God. But listen, all of us need not be cast into the lake of fire. You tonight need not be cast into the lake of fire. Some will not be judged for their sins. Some will have their sins covered by the blood of Christ, never to be brought up again. Some, let me say this, some will not be cast into the lake of fire, but carried by the wings of God's grace into heaven forever. But is that you? Can you say tonight that I know Christ is my Savior? This strikes no terror in my heart. This comes upon me with no conviction or fear. The sinner's last stand will be the most awful. and terrifying experience man will ever know. The sinner will then be picked up and cast into the lake of fire. But let me say, look to the sacrificial lamb. Look to the one who has died already for sin. Look to Jesus Christ, for he has supplied your rescue. And it's here tonight in the gospel. Turn or burn. Turn to Jesus Christ, or else there's nothing to be done with you but that final terrifying end, that you would be picked up and cast into the lake of fire. May God see of your soul tonight. May he work in your heart and bring you to conviction of your need. Let's just pray now as we close our meeting. We need to seek God's face now and pray that he would apply his word. What a sad thing it would be if there are those in this meeting tonight and they're not saved. And after we have considered the last judgment and their last stand, they end up on that day being cast into the lake of fire. Let's all pray for them. Our gracious Father in heaven, let there be abundant flowings of thy mercy and pouring out of thy grace from heaven, for we need it, Lord. Let there be those who are outside of Christ and are headed for hell tonight. May they be broken, Lord. May there be by the Holy Ghost a serious sense of conviction in their heart. Lord, we thank thee for the book of life, for that book, and I can say, and many of us can say tonight, that we are looking forward to that moment when our name will be called, when they will call my name, and I will forever be with the Lord. Father, save their never dying souls, we pray, and we ask it in Christ's precious, and only we can ask in his name. We ask in his precious and in his worthy name, and for his glory. Amen.